AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, hello and welcome to what everyone is saying is another delightful edition of the Confessions podcast, brought to you by your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. This is the place where mischief collides with madness and all sorts of antics are paraded before you for a good old-fashioned chuckle.
Yeah, I agree with all of that.
They weren't my words, but I was owning them.
No, I mean, it leapt off the page, let me tell you.
I was owning them as if they were my
words. They were,
Okay.
Excellent.
Are you ready for a good old-fashioned chuckle? That's the question.
Always?
Yeah. Okay. It's an interesting word, chuckle. Where do you think that comes from? I don't know.
German, I think.
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Sister Susie is still in the pub.
I am indeed.
Brother Matthew is from the car.
Yeah.
Sister Holly is still guarding Le Cabaret du Tat.
Mm-hmm.
The parish attitude, great attitude there. The parish notice board is buzzing with your correspondence. Can a parish notice board buzz?
There's a buzz around the parish notice board there.
Yes.
Including some rip-roaring five-star reviews and the rather cheeky not-for-broadcast Mark Knopfler section of the show. And, of course, you'll also hear all of this week's fabulous confessions from the Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio, which include Derek, who accepts free drinks from an admirer in Mercy Sakes Alive. Filofax Girl has a very deflating tale. Who should I say is calling? Frank's confession, eyes without a face. But first off, we're in for a wild ride, a wild bus ride, actually, containing songs of praise, a one-foot crucifix, and a trigger-happy door mechanism for Aled's saga, do-wa-diddy-diddy-dum-diddy.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Aled. Thank you, Aled, Father Simon and your forgiving crew. I seek forgiveness for an incident that took place in the 80s, but I fear that I am beyond redemption.
Oh,
it involves
dear.
A sin against religion.
Oh.
Though I declare that it was not intentional. Honest.
Hmm.
Back in the 80s, I was a teacher in a great little country high school in the West Midlands. It had good pupils, one of whom was to appear in the popular Sunday TV show Songs of Praise.
Ah.
It was to show the different environments between our pupil from a very rural base with her friend who lived in urban Birmingham. They were to look at their different churches and schools. So there was a buzz going around the school that a TV crew were to come and film everywhere. For me, it was even better as the TV show was hosted by none other than the famous singer and harmonica player Paul Jones, who'd been the lead singer of Manfred Mann, 54321, I know that one, of course, and all the other big hits the Manfred Mann had when Paul Jones, do-wa-diddy-diddy-dum-diddy-do.
Oh,
there
right.
you go, that's why.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is very, very exciting. I'd seen them at a local gig in my youth, so maybe I could get to see Paul Jones. Then things got even better. Our pupils lived out in the sticks and the TV crew wanted to film her journey into school. I held a bus driving license and I was asked to drive the bus. Wow. The only issue was that the bus was a real old bone shaker from the 1950s that I had never driven before, but it would be fine and what could possibly go wrong? I got myself to the bus and fired it up. Then onto the bus came the TV producer to brief me. I think this is where Matt's going to lose it particularly.
Okay.
He was an interesting guy who took his role very seriously. His outfit was perhaps fitting for producers of religious programs in the 1980s. He wore a fisherman's smock.
Of course he did. Smock?
Oh, a fisherman's smock.
Right, yeah.
Socks and sandals and a wooden cross on a leather strap dangling in front of him. The cross was nearly a foot long. It was truly massive.
Wow.
The briefing was
First time we had a fisherman's smock on the show. Yeah. The briefing was detailed and the producer said to me, right, is everything clear? Action! I was very keen to get my TV career started, so enthusiastically I released a large shiny lever in the cab of the bus as the producer walked backwards down the bus steps. I thought that the lever was the handbrake. As I said, I'd never driven this museum piece of a bus before. But no, there was a shudder, a brief rattle, and then a bang. I had activated the mechanical door closure lever by mistake, closing the concertina doors of the bus at the very time that the sock and sandaled producer was stepping out backwards. I was unaware of this as I was keen to be filmed. As I was about to roar away, I heard a muffled, from the curbside. I got out of the driver's seat and was shocked to see a large wooden cross hanging on the inside of the bus doors. That's strange. How did that get there? And then as I looked through the doors, I looked further through. There was the producer, eyes now bulging, hanging outside the bus doors, slowly choking.
Oh, wow.
As I said, I was unfamiliar with the operation of the bus control, so it's not my fault. It took a few seconds to open the door and release the producer, reuniting him with his cross, although his smock was slightly creased as a result.
Yeah, well.
I apologised to the producer profusely, but it was at this point I realised that my TV career was probably over. Oh, no. We did the filming. I thought it was a big thing. Big moment, no. We did the filming. We got back to school. I sat with Paul Jones for lunch, but there was no mention of being caught by the crucifix. You make it sound like a crime. I don't think it is. The programme went out and it was good, but it amounted to my first and last venture into television. I went to see Paul Jones appear in a live blues music performance just this week and he was amazing, though this is irrelevant to the story.
Right.
I seek forgiveness from all sock-clad sandal wearers. I'm told that this is an acceptable combination and a good strong look, maybe. Matt maybe would know. Anyway, Alid wants some forgiveness for basically, I mean, essentially, he nearly killed a religious producer, a producer of religious programmes, whose cross was caught one side of the door while he was being strangled on the other.
Yeah.
Mind you, if you wear a smock, I mean, that was never acceptable, not even in the 80s, as far as I remember. Sister Susie.
I don't really know what a fisherman's smock is, to be honest, so I have to do a bit of Googling
after
that.
Well, it's like a big loose shirt as worn by a fisherman.
Yeah. You used to wear them when you do, like, painting, didn't you, at school?
Yes, that kind of thing. Yeah.
That kind of thing. Do you know what? He probably looked quite trendy. Socks and sandals are very in these days, you know.
Yeah,
so.
But it's the 1980s. It wasn't in there, was it?
He's probably pretty trendy. But I am just going to say I'm not going to forgive, purely for danger, danger, high voltage.
High voltage, definitely, from the door. I mean, the producer could have got some... strangled.
Exactly. Strangulation could have happened. So for that reason, not forgiving.
Smock comes from the Middle English smock, meaning woman's undergarment.
Oh, right. Oh,
so there we go.
Undergarment?
Apparently so.
That's a very big undergarment.
That is absolutely mohusive.
In my experience.
Anyway, what do you say to Alid?
I mean, is it fair, really, to condemn this person for wearing fisherman's smock and socks and sandals? Yes, it is, I believe.
Well, no.
Because, frankly, it doesn't go... we all know your religious producer didn't really need the huge crucifix with the leather strap as well. It felt like he was pushing the boat out. Pushing the boat out with his fisherman's smock. Well done, me. Row the boat ashore. So for all of the rowing a boat ashore metaphors, for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Michael row the boat ashore.
Row the boat ashore. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah,
hallelujah. Michael row the boat ashore.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Gosh, that was so good, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah.
No. Was that back in the day? That was Pete Seeger sang a version.
Was it Pete Seeger?
Yeah, in the early 60s.
Yeah.
You were quite big in the 60s.
I was
weren't?
Huge, huge me
everyone,
Pete.
When everyone wore smocks.
Pete, do Michael row the boat ashore again, Pete. That'd
anyway, Alex's confession led to an informative people's verdict.
But Ian from Bolton says, not forgiven. As the owner of a few old relic buses and a trustee of a large transport trust in the Northwest, no excuse, no forgiveness. It is not possible to mistake the handbrake lever for the door control.
So now we've been told. Mm-hmm. The smock talk, by the way, also encouraged Simon to email to say, hi, Simon and the venerable collective, smockless though you are. Unforgiven, everyone knows what the big lever's for. The handbrake should remain on until the doorway is cleared. And to malign our venerable smock, symbol perhaps of our very identity here in West Cornwall, is unforgivable.
Oh, that's true. Mm.
Is the smock the symbol of West Cornwall?
It's sort of...
calling people of Bude. If you walk through Bude,
Do you see many smocks?
No, I'm afraid you don't.
Oh, right, okay.
Well,
long time since I was imbued.
Feel free, says this Simon, to atone your smocklessness by patronising this West Cornwall company and fit right in when you come. Link to the smockshop.com.
Hang on, this is just, this guy's from the, he's literally selling smocks.
He is.
And he's now telling us that,
his, I don't think it's his website.
It's the smockshop.com. So who knew that this was a thing? Obviously, no offence was intended to anyone in West Cornwall.
Who runs a business selling smocks.
And I've, niche.
I spent a bit of time in West Cornwall and I don't think I've ever stumbled upon someone in a smock.
We need to go to that shop then, clearly.
I've had a look at them. They're very nice.
So would you wear it after you've been in the sea? Is that the purpose? I'm confused.
It's just like a jacket.
I thought it was like a dress.
I thought it was a
big old shirt.
It is. It's like a blouse, isn't it?
If you come out of the sea, I think a towel normally.
Yeah, that's what I would be using.
Normally works.
Dry rose. Controversial.
Anyway, maybe the smockshop.com could sponsor the sport.
Oh, wouldn't that be the thing? Wouldn't that put me in my place?
Today's sport brought to you by the smockshop.com.
Matt, I understand you love smocks. That's right, Simon. Anyway,
and also you have to wear one.
Yeah, you do. That's part of the deal.
Yeah. Balls in your court. Smock shop.
Simon continues, I favour waterproof sleeves and front. The V-necked multicoloured ones are particularly nice, especially when the whole family are sporting them and just one is never enough.
One is never enough? This is outrageous.
Imagine if you're stumbling upon an entire family in smocks. You would I think there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No.
What are they hiding?
Yes. Under their smocks.
Anyway, smockshop.com. Thank you very much indeed. Now, before we dive back into this week's confessions, it's time to gather around the parish notice board. So, if you have something to say, this is your moment. Let's see what's been pinned to the board. Matt, what do you have?
And hopefully it's filtered through to people that the only reviews I'm going to read out are the five-star reviews. So, five stars says MacTastic81. Five-star joy. I love listening every weekend to this hilarious pod. I love Simon and the team and the confessions are crazy. I'm with Holly and never forgive. Quite right. Five stars, says Colonel Mustard. I mostly listen while polishing my candlesticks and lead piping in the billiards room. Thanks for that.
Okay, I'm not quite sure
Colonel
what that says.
Trying to say something. Five stars, says Howler UK, brightens the darkest of Sabbaths. Right. Used to listen to this on the other side of the void, rediscovering it. I'm Iron Manning my way through it, enjoying listening with a sweet leaf tea. You are the wizard of your profession, enjoying the change. Thanks for keeping the wheels of confusion away. Didn't understand any of that, Howler UK.
These are all very strange.
Thanks for getting in touch.
Went a bit weird.
Iron Man, obviously, being the rock track, but yes. Another one here from Made Up Name, five stars. I noticed that Matt was right when Simon refused to accept that he'd said midget gem and not ice gem.
No.
Sorry,
Matt
was right.
That's not on the script.
Hashtag ice gem gate.
That was an AI alteration.
Yeah, good point, Made Up Name. Very interesting correspondence.
Matt.
Yes. You are the wizard of your profession enjoying the change. Is that like a life change, like a menopause thing, do you think?
I think it's the change of from the void.
Thanks. Yeah. Oh, right, from the dark side. Thanks for keeping the wheels of confusion away. I think that's an old age thing. What it is? I think maybe Greatest Radio is good for your health.
Oh, right.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
I think, or maybe Howler UK is off on another.
That would be where my money would go. Yeah.
Anyway, Susie's been spotting various items.
Yes, I've got a tat request from Thomas, which I thought was quite fun. Dear Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Susie and Sister Holly, I love listening to your radio show and the podcast on my way, during and coming home from college. I find myself having to hold my laughter in while I'm writing my essays while in the library or on the bus. I find myself having to act like I'm yawning while listening so I don't seem odd. I've tried to convert my friends, but have had little success, so I am actively seeking new friends who share in the appreciation of the confessions. I always enjoy when Brother Matt finds a way to forgive and Sister Susie's constant shock when Matt does. I would like to request something from the tat cupboard so that I can give it to my mother on her birthday in October. I hope that by requesting something from the tat cupboard now, it should arrive on time for her birthday. Keep up the amazing work. See below for address from Thomas.
A bit of a cheapskate, Thomas, isn't he? He wants something from the tat cupboard for his mother's birthday.
No, that's not
wrong. I love it.
Well, it's very nice, and I appreciate you listening to us during college. I remember taking the radio in to school to listen to the new Top 40.
All right.
Which was announced on Tuesday lunchtime. And also for the...
FA Cup draw, obviously.
FA Cup draw, but also the World Cup.
Oh, yes. Yeah, when the matches are on, yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, Thomas is saying we're that good.
Yeah. Mm.
But obviously you can't work with the radio on. I don't think that's the case. But anyway, as long as Thomas is going to buy something with his own money...
Yeah.
What do you say about the request for Tat?
Well, it started off, and Susie said Sister Holly, but it says Sister Holy here. So I was confused at first, but he's won me round, actually, with his nice request. And the fact that he's gotten in touch now is actually a really good thing, because it takes a while for the mugs to get there by carrier pigeon.
Yes.
So... it's probably good he's got in touch now. And so, yes, and the fact he's listening to us at college and he's encouraging his friends and getting new friends and all of that is great. So yes.
Because her birthday's in October, you're saying there's a fighting chance.
Yeah,
she
you're going to get
mug.
It. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Right. And it might not be broken as well.
Yes.
It might be whole.
Be nice, Thomas, to fight the good fight amongst his doubting friends.
Mm. Mm.
We're not listening to that. Well, in which case, I'm going to find new friends. Goodbye.
Yeah, I like it.
Keep your additions to our notice board coming, please. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions here. Helen Duxbury, Pam Douglas, Michelle, Eddie Howard and Janine Moore. Amongst the thousands of you who got in touch, slight exaggeration, with a secret code phrase, which was, of course, the geese are her parents.
Mm.
Matt will have a new secret code phrase, which he'll make up just in time for the end of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we come to the not-for-broadcast section, the part of the show which gives you a backstage pass to the unfiltered filth that we have to wallow amongst. The ones, the confessions are too disgusting or legally questionable to make it onto the radio. This week's are not for the queasy, starting with you, Jeffrey.
Uh-huh.
Jeffrey, taking a lady on a first date to a burger joint... it's probably your first mistake. Overindulging was probably your second. But not making it to the toilet and creating a display of regurgitation for the whole room to witness and then running away without cleaning up or paying.
Oh, no.
Your confession was destined for the not-for-broadcast
pile. Yeah, you can't do that.
Why did you waste your time, Jeffrey? Also, Tabitha. It's never a good idea to take a taxi home after a night on the town, especially when you're feeling a little bit... iffy.
Oh, no. Okay.
Before you step into the car. But halfway home, you lost the battle with your stomach and expelled the contents of your night out into your lap.
Oh, dear.
You then remained silent for the rest of the journey home while you played a game of keep... you know what the game is called?
No, but I'm going to guess.
The game is called Keep Your Sick in Your Skirt. Play it at home, kids. Funnily enough, it didn't work.
No, it wouldn't, no.
Both you and the taxi ended up... stained.
Yeah.
Too much sick for tea time there, Tabitha.
No.
But interesting that I... See, also, if you had a smock, everyone could play that.
Yes, they could.
That's so true.
I'm sure the smock shop would actually have, waterproof smocks.
Yeah.
So that if you did vomit in one, you could actually tilt it around and that would be quite a game.
I think
you're
being a bit mean to the smocks.
Hey, I'm plugging it again.
No, they've had so many mentions.
They are
loving this.
They will have a waterproof smock... to take with you if you want to be sick in a taxi.
If we're not sent free smocks at the end of this...
you can have mine.
Oh, my.
It says here, look, I've just gone on their website. It says, manufacturing traditional styles of fishing and sailing smocks in West Cornwall since 1976.
Hmm. That's not that long.
I've literally got T-shirts longer than that. So.
Anyway, I think we can agree that as far as what the story Tabitha sent us, it was quite enough of that kind of thing. We're going to cleanse our hands and our minds. By the way, chuckle... meaning to laugh loudly, comes from making a clucking noise. That's what it's the derivation.
So from English.
Like a chicken?
Yes. So a chuckle is like, it's imitative. So it's like, you sound as though you're...
like a chicken.
Clucking like a chicken. So that's why it's a chuckle.
Ah, interesting.
Holly's looking
so educated.
So bored.
I love it.
Laughing and learning.
Right, time for some nighttime antics in a truck stop with Derek in the one that we called Mercy Sakes Alive...
confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes, which has a 15 certificate.
Really?
Yes,
oh,
a one dear. And a five.
Like that.
And it comes from Derek. Good day, all. Anonymous, please, for the purpose of this story. The name Derek would work.
Oh, right.
I prostrate myself before you all, the Reverend Father Simon, the alluring Sisters of Redemption, and the Archbishop of the Gutter.
Uh-huh.
That'll be you. I am a lorry driver and a tramper. That's where your truck is your home all week. It's good life, but you do miss the comforts of home, mostly the loo and the shower.
Yeah.
This particular incident was early 2000s, let's say 2005 for argument's sake. It was the summer, and after 3 days of long, hot hours and staying in hotel laybys or admiring the lustrous vistas of generic industrial estates, I decided to shell out a few quid and park for the night in a well-known and rather well-equipped South Yorkshire truck stop for the night. Knowing the place well, I went for my daily business and then a long, well-needed shower before popping to the restaurant for a carvery so that I could fill my fat belly.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, after I'd had a sufficient amount of roasted meat and veggies, I thought it would be rude of me not to visit the on-site, open to the public, hostelry to partake in a couple of beers. It was early evening and I didn't need to move till 11 o'clock the following day, obviously not planning on getting laced just enough to wash away the day and help me get to sleep in the stifling heat.
Yeah.
So there I was, sat at the bar on my own, sipping my second Guinness, thinking that would do me nicely. I was just about to leave when another pint appeared from nowhere. Confused, I asked where this was from, as I'd not ordered anything, and the lass behind the bar pointed to a group of women at the end of the bar. Ooh. They looked like 1970s Coronation Street escapees, Father Simon. I raised my glass to thank them, not wanting to offend, and it was a free drink after all.
Wow.
One of these ladies, I'll call her Beryl, came over and asked if she could perch herself next to me and have a chat. Now, I'm an amiable man and hadn't really seen many people all week, so why not? Beryl was in her 50s. I was 30-ish, and the only way I can describe her is that she was a curvier Bette Lynch, bleach blonde hair, big hair, fake tan, leopard skin clothes and jewellery made of more plastic than I've recycled in the last 10 years.
Okay.
In all honesty, not really my type, to be honest, Father Simon. Besides,
wow.
I was engaged and close to organising our wedding, so what she wanted was never happening. Whatever that might be.
Yes.
Beryl proceeded to buy another couple of rounds, and I was starting to feel a little bit wobbly. Always drink responsibly.
Yeah.
So I said I should really go back to the truck and go to bed. Now, this is where I need forgiveness, as she offered to keep me company after she had powdered her nose. And I told her I was in the big red truck.
What?
With his private and swanky registration plate, and I'd see her there. And then I legged it. Mostly because my wagon was blue and white and parked opposite the red lorry with a very swanky, memorable registration number, which I had noticed when I parked up. I am ashamed to say I locked myself in my cab, opened the windows, because it was very hot, remember, and closed the curtains all bar an inch. I knelt on the floor, peering through the gap in the curtains as Beryl tottered across the parking area, up to the red lorry and tapped and banged on the door. Only to be greeted by a huge, in fact, massive gladiator-like manner with long dreadlocks who I'll assume was called Barry. I haven't a clue what he's actually called, but I'm just calling him Barry. Mm-hmm. Barry told her at a rather high volume and in no uncertain terms that she should wander off because she had woken him up. Obviously, he was very, very angry indeed. I, however, was in fits of laughter in the relative safety of my lorry for a good 10 minutes after she wobbled back into the building. I'm sure she could hear me giggling because of the open window. So, the collective of eternal repentance. Can I beg for forgiveness, please? I am on my knees again here, but at my age, getting up is a chore, if I'm honest. I would love forgiveness, firstly, for getting Barry rudely woken up. He was quite a scary behemoth of a man, and I'd hate for him to find me for retribution even after all these years. And secondly, forgiveness from Beryl's bank account and bank balance, as the sherbets in that place were not exactly cheap.
Oh.
I'm sure she was a lovely lady, and I feel like a bit of an animal for leading her on the way that I did. Please be merciful with me, as this has played on my mind for too long. All my love, but not like that.
Not like that, no.
Well, why sign it? Derek, the pseudonym-ridden trucker, is how he signs it. Well, it's a trucker's tale, with an I thought that was...
Yes.
1 minute it was going that way, and it was going in an entirely different way. Sister Susie, who's been, I can tell, tutting already.
Yeah,
In fact, from about 3 minutes ago.
Yeah. I just think it's... just ridiculous behaviour, isn't he? He led her on, and you know, if he wasn't gonna carry on, and then he should have said, "Do you know what, Beryl? I don't want any more drinks." And also, where was him offering to, you know, repay the favour? If someone buys you a drink, you buy them a drink. That's the general hospitable rules. And I just think he wasn't very nice when he described it. And he could have just said,
I don't want company.
I'm engaged. Thank you very much. And yeah, I'd be asking him to wander off and not forgiven.
Brother from another gutter.
Well, I mean, he didn't want to be rude, did he? And she kept buying him drinks. What are you going to do? You know, oh, maybe I'll have another one and another one. And I'm in the red truck. Thanks very much. Uh-oh. Bye. So, you know, I mean, I know everyone was fine with it in the end. And I'm sure she saw the funny side. I'm pretty sure she did. Sounded like she had a great sense of humour with all of those plastics. So for all those reasons...
What about Barry?
Yeah, Barry. Yeah. He seems like he was up for a laugh as well. Thought it was hilarious with his big hair. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
It's almost like you listen to an entirely different story.
What I took from it was everyone enjoyed it, everyone had a good time. They all looked back and smiled.
Anyway, there wasn't much forgiveness on the people's verdict for Derek, including this one from Ruth.
Ruth, though, says definitely not forgiving tonight. What a cad Derek is, letting that very nice Bette Lynch-type lady buy his drinks. Plus, he doesn't know what she wanted. Maybe she just wanted to talk or play some parlour games with him. Bad Derek. Thanks, team.
You have a smutty voice.
I do.
Not in general.
No, I do. It's something I reach for. Occasionally.
Exactly. Yes. There you go. Still to come on the Confessions podcast, we head back to the 80s where Filofax girl is very proud of her house and is getting rather irritated with the balls coming in, which we called, who should we say is calling? But first, it's going to be Frank's confession, Eyes Without a Face.
Shh, shh, shh. We won't tell anyone.
What's your secret?
confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Dear Father Simon and the ever-forgiving collective, today I seek forgiveness not for myself, but a somewhat errant offspring of mine. The event of which I speak took place some 24 years ago, when my daughter was 6 and my son was 8. It so happened that Hannah, a somewhat headstrong and opinionated young girl, yes, even at 6 years of age, was the bane of my son Thomas's life. She had to be first with everything and would not tolerate any perception of being treated differently. Tom always had the better presents, always had the better parties, and always had more pocket money, and she let us and Tom know it, although none of this was actually true. She, as you can imagine, could be quite antagonistic. Though quite brazen and showing no fear in her daily dueling with her parents and her brother, she did have her own version of kryptonite, and this, unusually for a girl, was dolls, especially the kind that had moving eyes. She absolutely hated them, they completely spooked her. I think that seems fair enough, really.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so.
Now, my mother had a cousin, affectionately known as Mad Cousin Pat.
Affectionate, yeah.
She has many eccentricities, too many to mention here, but her speciality is unwanted and weird gifting. My mother still has a large porcelain elephant in the kitchen, which she's always hated from day one. So, as you can guess, Pat turns up on Hannah's birthday with nothing other than a porcelain doll with big moving eyes. Unboxed, so probably from a charity shop. Now, I know that she knew about Hannah's issues with this toy because my mother had said that she'd mentioned it to her in the first place. Oh, she'll get used to it, was Pat's strident reply, when, on presenting the gift to Hannah, who stood there, stuck to the spot, obviously terrified. Not to be rude and trying to set a good example to the kids, i.e. you should never seem ungrateful for a free gift, we accepted the doll and placed it securely away from Hannah in the boot of the car as we headed home. We tried to explain that we wouldn't be burning it or putting it in the bin because that isn't what you do with presents, but as a recognition of her fear of these dolls, the offending object would be placed in the cupboard under the stairs which had a latch on the outside. It would therefore be safe and removed from her presence at all times. So, Hannah watched as we placed it in the back of the cupboard, shut the door and dropped the latch. Job done. It would only be seen again when enough time had passed to actually throw it out. The end of the matter, you would think. However, 2 days later, at approximately 7:30 in the morning, a blood-curdling scream emanated from my daughter's bedroom. I and her mother rushed to her room, thinking something of unmentionable horror had happened, or she was having a bad dream, or something. Entering the room, we beheld Hannah, having pinned herself to her headboard, eyes wide, pointing to the bottom of her bed. And there sat bolt upright, eyes wide open and arms outstretched, was the doll we had secured away in the cupboard under the stairs.
Oh, dear.
Why was I under the stairs? Said a voice.
What?
I want you. It was just like the magic movie with Anthony Hopkins where he gets a ventriloquist doll called Fats. Is it evil or is it Anthony Hopkins? Who can say? Because by now, Brother Tom had joined us and was looking at the scene poker-faced. We didn't need to ask any questions. We knew exactly what had happened. To this day, Hannah, now 30 years old, has never forgiven him for this deed. So Father Simon asks forgiveness for Tom and his dastardly undertaking to frighten the living daylights out of his sister. Which sounds as though it definitely worked, because if you're scared of dolls, what you don't want is a hideous doll brought by mad cousin Pat sitting at the end of your bed when you wake up in the morning. I think a lot will depend on brothers and sisters here and where you are in the family. What do you say, Sister Suze?
I'm a younger sister. I also don't like those dolls. They're creepy. Why do they have moving eyes? It's just to follow you around the room. I'm not going to forgive because that was just too mean, and I'm with the little sister.
Yes, little sister solidarity, I think, Brother Matthew.
Yeah, how was the doll talking? Was Tom hidden under the bed?
Yes, I think Tom had arrived and he just...
Oh, I see. Well, in which case, I mean, you know, great work.
Or maybe the doll was actually
was
talking.
Was possessed.
Yes. Was alive. No,
could have been that. Could have happened. I mean, really, doesn't the blame... Well, obviously the blame lies with Mad Pat and her insistence on providing dolls with moving eyes, despite the fact that nobody likes them. But also it lies with the parents. What are you doing hiding the doll, the possibly possessed doll, in the cupboard under the stairs?
Well, they're hiding it from their daughter.
Well, have they never seen a horror movie? That's where all of them end up in the cupboard under the stairs, and the latch in the middle of the night and try coming up to my room. For all of those horror movie setups, I am going to forgive.
Confess All, Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Today's confession comes from Filofax Girl.
Oh.
Which she adds, not my real name.
No. Okay.
Funny that.
Work that out.
Okay, dear Father Simon and the collective of Fantabulous Forgiveness, says Filofax Girl, I would like to seek forgiveness for an act of retribution visited upon a young boy who lived next door but one to me in my earlier years. At this point, I'd like to put my act of retribution into context in the hope that you might understand my behaviour. Don't think we will. The offence took place in the far-off heady days of the 1980s. At this time, I was a fashionable girl about town in my mid-20s. Skirts were short and shoulder pads were wide, enough to be an obstacle when squeezing through door frames. And carrying a Filofax was practically compulsory.
Yes.
As a single girl, I was ridiculously pleased with myself. I'd bought my first house, a gorgeous little two-bedroom Victorian end of terrace in Brighton, different times. And I bought it all on my own. Before moving in, I spent a week of very long days scrubbing, cleaning and painting the whole house. I used all of my savings on carpets and furniture to make it into a beautiful home. I was thrilled and absolutely loved my little house. However, next door but one lived a young boy of around 8 or 9 years old. He and his friend frequently played ball in the middle of the road, sometimes playing chicken and running in front of cars, which was nerve-wracking for drivers coming down a very steep hill, to say the least. After all, I felt it would be very hard to retain a good relationship with my neighbours if I had, albeit accidentally, run over their son.
Yes, that was true.
At this point, Filofax Girl says, I feel I should add that I had no experience other than school, which doesn't really count, of being with children. Our family didn't seem to breed well in captivity, so there were no brothers, sisters, cousins, or even babysitting experience. Okay. I'm getting a certain feeling about Final Facts Girl. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The compulsion for small boys to kick footballs all over the place was something I just didn't understand. What's wrong with them? So then imagine my anger when I came home one lovely summer evening just in time to see said little boy and his sidekick scaling the brick wall in my back garden on the way back to his own house and trampling into the ground a beautiful Japanese maple tree given to me as a housewarming gift by my lovely mum. I charged two houses up the hill brandishing my murdered tree, only to have him and his sidekick deny all knowledge to the boy's mum, who then considered the subject closed and shut the door. At this point, you could say our relationship had irretrievably broken down, and I made up my mind to put a stop to the tree killer and his antics.
Okay.
Like most Victorian houses, my much-adored home had a tiny little garden at the front, and the tree killer was frequently in the habit of kicking his football into it and coming into the garden to retrieve it. And surprisingly, early one evening, as I prepared for a night out on the downtown in Brighton, there was a loud bang from the sitting room at the front of the house. Worried that there might be something seriously wrong, I dashed into the sitting room to find a football on the sofa and a large ball-sized hole in my front window. There was glass everywhere. It would be fair to say I wasn't happy. And needless to say, it wasn't long before the tree killer's football sailed through the air again into the front garden. Having watched this from behind the curtains, I swiftly opened the door, grabbed the ball and took it hostage. It was only a matter of minutes before the boy knocked at my door asking for the return of his ball, which I did so with a smile. Mm-hmm. Back in my viewing spot behind the curtains, I watched with anticipation as the boy walked down the short concrete path, happily giving the newly retrieved ball a bounce. Except the ball didn't bounce.
Ah.
It stayed on the path because what he didn't realise was that I had used the few minutes it had taken for him to come round to ask for the ball back, to take it into the kitchen and stab it with a very sharp set of utensils
that I had to hand.
And so, Father Simon, I kind of need forgiveness, not from the tree killer, because I hope he learnt some respect for other people's homes, but from the many women who look like me, to whom he has probably taken an instant and inexplicable dislike over the last 35 years. And in my defence, in that time, I've become much kinder to children.
Oh, okay.
Although, if I'm honest, I still don't like boys with footballs.
Oh, right.
All the best, Filofax girl, who I'm afraid doesn't present herself in the best light. That's what I'm saying. I would think that might be represented in what some people have to say, but we'll find out with the people's verdict. But Susie goes first.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this one because, yeah, she probably should have been a bit nice. But then, you know, I would have found a ball being kicked into my garden slash house very annoying. And also, I don't agree with the chicken either. I'm just going to say you shouldn't run in front of cars. It's danger, danger, high voltage to start with. But oh, I don't know where I feel about this. Maybe just because she could have approached it differently, that I'm going to not forgive her.
Yes, not that difficult. Don't stab the ball. I mean, that's
I probably would have done it. You know.
Anyway, Brother Matthew.
I'm afraid my sympathies are very much with Filofax Girl and not with the tree killer. You're going around stamping on other people's trees. That's not on at all. And I've got to say, I've got some sympathy. I mean, I know that the neighbours don't come round to our house anymore for their balls back.
Why not?
Not since I brought in the policy of you better be packing some manners if you're knocking on my door. And now the neighbours don't want to come round at all.
Because they didn't have any manners.
No, yeah, exactly. So their balls go. Go flat. Never stabbed any balls, though. So, but for all of those reasons, I think Filofax Girl should be forgiven.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
If your neighbours are downloading this podcast, what are they saying to themselves?
they are confirming that they never come round to my house to retrieve any balls. Because they
were they just kind of like rude, or did they just have too much attitude?
No. It all stemmed. I'm sure I've said this before. It all stemmed from when we did Halloween one year, and I rather insisted on there being some manners underneath your cape, Mr. Dracula. And from that point on, no one was knocking on the door again.
Word spread.
Yeah, it did. Don't knock on his door. He insists on manners. Imagine.
We also learnt on the people's verdict that if you agree with Matt, he will read out your verdict, with vigour, as is the proof here.
Sue says, totally forgiven. I had the same problem a few years ago with the neighbour's kids. A knife to a ball halts the problem and also spreads the word around the street to not play football near the mad woman's house. Happy days.
Yeah, you enjoyed that.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Susie has sent me some photographs from the smock shop. And can I just say how useful they look? Yeah, what I think you would use a smock if you just wanted to throw something on top of everything and cover everything,
right?
And just go out in the garden.
What?
And cut a few and deadhead a few roses.
Are you a convert now?
Yeah. If I was like
who's
in a
doing that? Who's, oh, I'm just going to throw something on. Yeah. I was going to go outside naked, but now I'm just going to throw something on.
Exactly right.
No, actually, Jill, I'll throw something on. Actually,
if you've got nothing that's going to cover everything, you just pop on a smock. And then you can go out and do some shopping. Yes,
yeah. I'm not sure. It's like ponchos. They've never been in, have they, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love a poncho.
Yeah.
It wouldn't go with a smock, though, would it?
No. A smock and a poncho feels
no,
like
too
overkill.
Much. Yeah.
No.
And which would go... I think the poncho would have to go over the smock.
Yes, yeah. Of course, because the poncho is the...
Or maybe there's a combined version, like a smoncho.
A smoncho.
Or a pock, which takes the best bits of the poncho and the smock.
And the smock.
Imagine
it's
how many
like
friends
they're
you'd
exactly
have.
The same, though.
Crazy.
I mean,
I'd turn up at work in one of those, for sure. Anyway, thanks to our friends at the smock shop. particularly everyone in West Cornwall is wearing one.
Apparently they do all the time. Yeah.
Just about wraps up another week of confessions. In a way, a smock wraps up your body in West Cornwall.
Yeah.
If you've been inspired by any of these tales, send in your own, please. Confessions at greatestitsradio.co.uk. Now over to Brother Matt for this week's fabulously secret code phrase, which is...
All down to the smock shop. That's going to be the code phrase for this week. All down to the smock shop.
If you've listened this far, you can thread me at Mr. Simon May on Threads, or you can post on Blue Sky. Remember to share the podcast with a friend and leave us a 5-star review. That'll be very nice. If you give us any lower, we'll know and pop round. Back next week with another bunch of fine confessions. Until then, from the pub, Sister Susie says...
Ta-ra!
From the tack cupboard, Sister Holly intones...
Hasta la vista, baby.
From the gutter, Brother Matt performs...
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
All sound amazing.
All sound amazing.
Amazing.